Welcome to episode 52 of season 11 of Movie Rumble, the daily podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 HBO award-winning miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Tyson Ferris of the Real Jaws Minute. Welcome back to the show, Tyson.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, I know we're stuck in a barn right now, but still, you know.
I'm very comfortable in a barn.
Yes, well, that's what I understood. You know, like I always grew up where people, you know, if you leave the door open, the question was always, were you born in a barn or do you live in a barn or something like that? And you probably could have said, yeah, I was. Yeah, sure.
I wasn't born in one. I was born in a metropolitan hospital, I have said that same line to my son. So, shut the door. I always followed up. I know you weren't born in a barn because I was there. So.
But grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, right. So.
Yeah. All right. That works. So. Episode 52 begins with the Dutch girl watching from her hiding place. The horrors going on around her, and it ends with Bull getting out of the Jeep. So we left things off yesterday with Bull killing the German who was dealing with his, he thought he was going to see a man about a horse, but in the end, he just got the wrong end of a bayonet in the face.
Right. Yeah. Good old face stabbed.
Yes.
It'll get you every time.
That's right. And I mean, the shot focuses on her just for like 1 or 2 seconds, and then we're back at a shot of Bull, and it's unbelievable the number of the amount of blood that's on his face.
Right. The it's her POV, right? We haven't seen this particular shot. It's from her. It's her eyes. You know,
that's
we're
right.
We're seeing Bull through. Who genuinely looks a bit pissed off that she hit that milk pail.
Yeah. But again, it's, I mean, Michael Cudlitz does a great job in this entire series. I mean, he's a great actor. But, mm-hmm. you know, the way that he carries himself in this entire, in part four is amazing. And, you know, even in this situation, you know, he's dealing with what he needs to deal with. He's able to dispense with this this German that's here, but there is just, you know, they didn't show blood splurting out of the guy, so it's a little interesting that, you know, we get the shot of his face where it's half of his face is basically covered in blood. This is like, you know, his Braveheart moment, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine there's probably a some sort of death rattle spurt from this German that probably got him, right in the kisser there. While the camera was focused on the girl, that's how I kind of saw it.
I can understand that. It just just very, very strange watching it. Yeah. You know, looking at the way that they're doing that.
Well, and the way he plays it, I think, is really good. You know, I mean, you know, the, you know, I mean, to stab a guy multiple times in the chest and face and kill him, you know, I mean, we're going to our most base, you know, animalistic level, you know, and I think we see this here as he looks up at her. I think it's really well portrayed. And then you can actually see him kind of break out of it. because the job's done. So, pretty impressive performance, I think. So.
No, I totally agree. I like the way that they show this to us. And basically the way that he just gets up and then the shot changes and we're back with the men who are in a they're at their base camp trying to figure out what they're going to be doing. And Garnier walks across the area where these guys are all digging trenches.
But
And
that cut, I mean, we go from, stabby stab, dead body, blood on the face, and then we go right to what essentially looks like digging a grave, right?
that's right.
Right. I don't think that is by mistake. In fact, the body laying down in the previous shot is right where these guys are digging their trench.
It
So
looks like, yeah.
I don't think that's on accident. I think that's absolutely on purpose. So anyway,
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that.
not quite a visual joke, but almost,
Right. And Garnier ends up getting closer to these new recruits, and he goes, "Who? Any news of the bull yet?" And we hear like explosions in the background, and then he goes, "If there ain't nobody, there ain't nobody f***ing dead. Understand
Right.
me?"
Yep.
And
I love that line.
that's right.
Every time I rewatch this series, I really thought we'd see more of this actor,
Which one? Frank John Hughes?
of Garnier.
Okay, yeah, Frank John Hughes.
I've just never. I'm sure he is probably maybe he is or isn't working. I just never kind of clocked him in anything after this.
Oh, he's been in tons of things.
Has he? Yeah, I guess I haven't
I
noticed
mean, he
him.
just doesn't do it. He doesn't do it with the same, Garnier voice. Maybe that's why you're
Sure,
familiar.
but I think I would recognize his face. But anyway, I'll have to look him up. But
Yeah, no, he's been in a lot of things.
okay, good for him. Sorry. Yeah, I love that line. Yeah. Hey, if there ain't a body, then there's nobody f***ing dead.
That's right. Which makes
Which,
sense.
yeah, it's a good, totally, yeah. It's a good, I think it's a good way to think about things, probably, if you're in these guys' situation. An easy way to keep hope, right?
That's right.
So.
And one of the guys goes, "I'm gonna go look for him." And he goes, "Not by yourself, you're not." He goes, "I'll go with you. Let me get some ammo." Then Hashi goes, "That's okay. I'll go." And then Garcia goes, "Me too."
Right.
And then Garnier says, "All right, go get him."
And he's like, well, if all you guys are going, I'm not
That's right. That's right. I
f***ing
don't need to go.
going. Yeah. He's like, yeah, have a blast, guys.
Let's
I'm gonna stay here.
send all the new recruits. We I don't need to go.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as the new recruits here go, I can speak to that a little bit in regards to my grandfather and there's a point where they got to and the guys coming in to replace the guys that had left because they were dead he goes you got he goes when he goes when we started the war he goes you tried to be friends with everybody and as time went on he goes you just made sure you weren't friends with anybody.
That's right. No,
Because that was the long
it
and short.
reminds
That
me.
was the that was the that was the long and short of it. It was just you
Right.
guys. You just saw these guys coming in, and you just f***ing avoided them like the plague. He goes, which I'm sure was really hard for them. But he goes, you just didn't make friends anymore, like because it was it's just it's too f***ing hard. So.
It reminds me of the line from Platoon, where they go, a new guy's life just isn't worth the same. So there's no point talking to them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, essentially. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's come up in a lot of movies, but yeah, I mean, I literally heard that right out of my grandpa's mouth. Like, you just didn't fuck around with those guys, 'cause it was just not that you couldn't take the time to care. Like, it was not in your best interest to care. So
No, I mean, what
yeah,
it's
with
very
that.
interesting. I mean, I've talked about this a lot this season, and also when I did Saving Private Ryan, and especially when I interviewed Theo Bauer, who is a World War II veteran. You know, the idea that so many veterans just kept it, kept it in. They didn't tell their stories. So with your grandfather, did he always talk about it, or was it only much later in life that he reached the
No,
point where he
no,
knew?
no, no, no. It was very few and far between. Some of the stories I know weren't even relayed directly from him. Between my mom and my dad and my grandma and then him personally, I heard some stories just from him personally, and just it would just every once in a while, I don't know, something would pop in his head. Like, we're just driving down the road in like Troutdale, Oregon, going to on some errand, and I don't know if something visually would strike a chord with him, or or a smell, or you know how
Yeah, of
memories
course.
are. Like, they just it just su such weird things can send your brain, back in time. And he would but anytime that especially as he got older, he would, I think it was easier for him to speak about those things in a more matter of fact way. And I think he understood that it was healthy for him to do
Okay,
it.
wow, that's great.
And even talking to, an 8-year-old kid about it, like that was okay to do, like, and nothing, and just real matter of fact about it. I mean, like, So it's always odd to think about, like, it, and it never ever struck me as weird until I was way older. It's like, oh, like my grandpa just he killed people, like a lot of people. That's crazy, like, to think about. But it never struck me as like bad or weird, or as a kid, it was just like, well, that's the job, and he was very matter of fact because that's the job I was had to do. And you don't take enjoyment out of it, but he goes, that was the game we were playing, and if you want to win the game, that's the way it goes, so
Have you ever
so.
heard or seen the heard of or seen the movie Memorial Day from 2012?
I don't think
Okay, so
so.
I personally, based on what you've just told me, it sounds like it's something that you probably should seek out. It's
Okay.
starring James Cromwell, and basically
Oh,
it's
yeah.
about a soldier in Iraq who reflects on memories from his childhood, where he, tried to talk to his grandfather about his experiences during World War II, and his grandfather didn't want to tell him anything. And then one day he came across a chest filled with a whole bunch of different memorabilia, I guess you can say, and he eventually convinces his grandfather to tell three stories about three different souvenirs, I guess, that he has. And he talks, and like he says, we're going to talk about these, and then I'm closing it, and we're never going to talk about this ever again. And it's I have seen this movie probably like four or five times. It's just an amazing movie. It's not like a it was it, was definitely not a box office, blockbuster or anything like that. But for me, it
Right,
gets
right.
the essence of what it means to be a veteran. And the question is okay, what do you need to talk about, and what do you need to hold in, things like that. So
Right,
you're
right.
just talking about that now, but you said when 8 year, what does a grandfather, tell an 8 year old and stuff like that. It reminded me of the that movie. So if you get a chance, I
Yeah.
recommend that you check it out. And obviously, everyone listening, you should see
I
it
definitely
also.
will.
Not just Tyson, but everyone. Everyone.
Well, I mean, James Cromwell, he's one of the he's one of the greats of all time, in my
And his
opinion.
it one of his sons actually plays him as, during World War II. So we get to see,
Oh,
there's
interesting.
an actor named John Cromwell, who's his son, who looks obviously
Sure.
similar to him, and we see him, in the flashback scenes of the stories. So that's very cool also.
Right. Yeah, that's super cool.
So
Yeah, there's a so, sort of sorry to get on a Jaws thing. There's a similar thing with I think it still might be running in London, but they did the it's called The Shark Is Not Working,
right.
and it's a stage play, and it's about it's about essentially the making of Jaws. And Ian Shaw plays his father, who looks remarkably similar to his dad, because he's essentially the same age as his dad
When he
was.
died, he died like 48 or something like that, wasn't he? Something like that.
He's really young, like 40. He's 48, I think, when Robert Shaw passed. Which, if you watch Robert Shaw, he's like 44 or 45 in the movie, in Jaws.
Doesn't look
And
like it.
I cannot wrap my head around that he is 45 years old. Or the fact that Richard Dreyfuss is like 22 in that
Right,
movie.
that's true
Like,
also.
and he has like gray in his beard. And like, it's wild to me. Like, it's just how young those guys were,
Exactly.
and they just don't look it. Roy Scheider's already starting to look like, he's a worn leather saddle, Anyway, sorry
No,
for the
no,
Jaws
that's great.
thing.
I love it. Yeah,
But
it fits in the connection of what we're talking about. That's fine. And
yeah.
then we see Webster looking at all these guys that have just gotten up, and he goes, "All right, what the hell?" And he gets up to go join them also.
Yeah, and then you got the guys like, I'm not gonna fly and
And
do that. Like,
then
that's
Cobb there.
stupid.
Well,
Like, I'm gonna
no, we know that
I'm gonna
Cobb's
sit.
somewhat of a coward anyway. So he goes, "I ain't going back up there."
Right,
But
right, right. Yeah, I don't know if Cobb's
no, I
really a
know he's a
coward,
coward. He's just,
as more as I think he's a bit more practical than some of the other fellows.
Okay, yeah, but I mean,
Or
we did have
Cromwell.
Cobb at the beginning of this of part four, deriding James McAvoy for having for having the company pin, even though he didn't, he had nothing to do with D-Day, and then I think Bull says to Cobb, he says, "Hey, you weren't there either. You got shot. You got shot in while you were in the plane and didn't make the jump." So,
Which I would argue is
yes.
enough.
So I think it's a regimental.
a regimental award. But that's a great moment. It's like, oh yeah, well, you weren't fucking there either, asshole,
But at least he didn't say it in front of everyone else. He gave him a little bit of a courtesy there. You're acting like a dick, but I'm just gonna tell you that, and not it doesn't have to be in front of everyone else.
Yeah, I'm not gonna call you out
That's
as a dick. Or I am, just but on a personal level.
Exactly.
Anyway, and then I love that. So it was like, oh well, Cobb's just gonna sit here and dig his trench all by himself,
We
and then of
see that
course
he
later
joined
we see that he's actually with them, which I love that we don't get that scene. That's kind of more funny to me that we don't see that. We can
That's
just imagine what happened.
He's like, I don't want to have to dig this on my own. I'm all right, I'll go with them.
Yeah, well, or and they're just like, or just the absolute rash of shit that he probably caught from the
That's
other
right.
four dudes, to get him to go along. I just
Right.
like imagining that.
Makes
It's
sense.
very fun. So,
And then,
anyway, I'm not trying to quarterback the
no,
minutes here.
not at
So,
all.
sorry.
The then the shot changes, and we see them walking through the patrol on their way back to the little town, and Cobb goes, Webster. Us or them, because they hear a tank behind them, and as it gets closer, Webster goes,
Right.
that's not us. And then we see them
Right.
hiding as the German tank passes by them. And then one of the guys, and I think it's Cobb, goes, stupid, stupid, stupid.
So yeah, this visual right here, this is one of the things that very much reminded me of on my grandfather's experiences. And just being down in a ditch and having the whole, what seems like the whole German army marching the other direction, like I said last week, he was able
Yesterday.
to grab a
Yesterday.
guy and yeah, yesterday night, last week, sorry. Yeah, was able to grab a guy, get his uniform, and he was able to kind of sneak past, and then he wasn't moving too well because he had a broken leg, and he anyway he ended up being helped by they're in China, so the Flying Tigers had a thing called what was called a blood chit, and it was basically a flag of a Chinese flag with writing all over it, in Chinese, and it was sewn into the back, the inside back of their jackets, their flight jackets. And basically what it said is, as a Chinese citizen, you the Emperor of China, implores you to help this man by any means necessary, blah 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 blah, and it'll be, you'll by doing this you'll have great honor to your family and your ancestors and all that sort of stuff. That's what this said on the inside of all
Oh,
their
wow.
jackets, which was pretty wild. Anyway, but yeah, so yeah, this old man and his grandson end up helping my grandpa, and they get some blankets on him, and they get a rice paddy hat on his head, just to, he had become fairly tan, just being in that region of the world. He tanned easily, so he was able to blend in that way, just a little bit, but obviously his face, didn't look, Asian at all. But so they got the rice paddy hat kind of down low on his face, and they kind of slumped him over and put him on the donkey. Anyway, they were basically walking one way, and this whole regiment of Japanese are going the other way, and they almost make it completely past it. The way he told it, so they made it all the way past them, and then an officer towards the rear turned around and started talking to the old man, and then questioned him further, and basically takes the butt of his gun and tips up the rice paddy hat and notices that this is not a related person to this old man and boy. And and realizes he's an American, and anyway, he takes out his pistol and he shoots the old man, he shoots the kid, and then he shoots the donkey, and then he yells for backup, and that's how my grandfather got taken prisoner.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, anyway, so some similar some similar visuals, I think, here. So that's part of, yeah. And yeah, and then Bull in the Barn, you know, having to fight the guy hand to hand. You know, we talked about that. My grandfather had to do that as well. Anyway, so that's kind of how these minutes relate. So
Okay.
yeah.
And so then the shot changes and we're back in the barn and we see a body being dragged through and dragged through the hay, and then he just puts hay on over the guy's face, and the farmer helps him
Right.
cover up the body a little bit. You'd think that the buddies of the German would be wondering where he is, you know, be wow, that's really taken him a long time to take a piss. Yeah.
Right,
Where's
yeah, and
Rudolph?
I,
You know,
yeah,
it's
or they, yeah, what, yeah, yeah, where'd Rudy go? Yeah, I think this all, yeah, I think because of the cutaway, it makes it feel like this has lasted longer. I think if you know, if you don't go back to Garnier and the boys. And just kind of cut the sequence together. It actually hasn't
No,
been that
not
long
at
at
all.
all. Do you know what I mean? But I think it seems like a long time because, you know, we cut to another scene.
Right, but again, these guys are going to be
Whereas
missing
I
him.
literally think I li yeah I li I literally think it kind of in real time it actually kind of pauses Bill or Bull, excuse me, and then we pick up right
Yeah, I
where we
think so
got
too.
left off. You know. Yeah, but yeah, obviously. And maybe there's just so many dudes, and they're you know, they're on the march, they're hustling. Maybe it just didn't get picked up, you know, that this dude
Maybe
was
he
gone.
goes back to what you were saying
So
before. Maybe he was a new recruit and no one wanted to be his friend. You
could be that too.
so.
Yeah, I mean that's totally logical. 'Cause yeah, I mean that would have happened with the Germans just as it did with
Correct. Sure.
the US guys.
It's
So
true. And then Bull decides that okay, he can't stick around here anymore. He convinces the farmer and the farmer's daughter to leave and go somewhere else, and he goes go, and they leave the barn, and he's trying to figure out what he needs to do. You'd think he would have tried to find something to wipe his face, but he doesn't. Still got all that blood over there,
Right.
and then the shot changes, and we get to see Winters and Nixon standing on a hilltop watching the town burn.
Right. I really like the rack focus from the door to Bill, or excuse me, Bull. I keep saying Bill. Bull. And where he just kind of. I think he realizes he's like, oh, I had for a second I had these two friends with me and now I'm
Right.
alone again. Do you know what I mean? I think that kind of comes across his face a bit. And then once again I love how they kind of this visual symmetry that they do between cuts where you now we go from you know
Oh.
Bill or Bull, gosh dang it. Bull basically looking right. I mean, if you did a dissolve, he would be looking right into the face of Nixon, right? So I just like those kind of eyeline matches of where, you know, where our eyeballs are cutting from shot to shot. You know, you don't have to kind of find your place in the frame. It's already done it for you. So I like that kind of forethought in cinematography and just planning your show and stuff like that. I just like sh shouting that out 'cause you know You don't have to do that, but gosh,
Yes,
it makes a
I agree.
difference. You know what I mean? It's what takes good stuff to great stuff. Do you know what I mean? And it's unheralded. People don't notice it really because it, but it matters in the long run. And yeah. So anyway, I just want to, shout out to all the people making it,
Yes,
making good
for sure.
decisions. So.
And then Winters and Nixon begin a conversation, and Winter goes, "They're bombing Eindhoven." And he goes, "Yep." He goes, "Come on, Nix, we'll dig in for the night." And then Nixon goes, "They won't be waving so many orange flags at us tomorrow," which is a great line. Know, especially since
Right,
we
right.
saw, you know, how much everyone loved that the Americans have shown up, but maybe not anymore.
Right. Do you think do you think this wide shot of the truck in them, do you think this is done against
It
a
looks like it
screen?
is.
I think it might be. It could be that they're just so silhouetted that it's giving that there's obviously some special effects happening, with the explosions and stuff. I don't think that was done pract I mean, it might have been shot practically, but I don't think it was being practically done while they're doing this scene. Do you know what I mean? That would be almost impossible, to like do over and over again, right? But yeah, even if it was, even if it was just a screen kind of just horizon, basically tree line up, that they'd brought in and then took out later. Yeah, I think there might be, but I think it's really well done. I like how it's all mostly out of focus, and really just it's background to what these guys are dealing
Yeah,
with.
I like the
So.
fact that they insert this 10 second or maybe 20 second conversation between the two of them, just to give us a little bit of focus that okay, what's going on in the middle of the night, that while these guys are having their while Bull is in the barn, the new recruits are all trying to figure out how to find Bull. And here we have Nixon and Winters just watching as as Eindhoven's being bombed. They give us the impression that it's the Germans who are bombing Eindhoven, because he says they're bombing. So I guess that's sort of in the Germans' way of paying retribution, to the fact that they had this parade earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's un yeah, I never thought about it. I always assumed it was the Germans bombing. Yeah, in kind of how dare you let the Americans through. I guess I never thought about it. They could actually be the Americans
Well, he says
bombing
they, so it must be
Eindhoven.
that,
Because
they makes it sound as if it's the enemy. He doesn't say where,
yeah,
he
I
doesn't say
guess they
we're
would
bombing,
be the
it's they are,
Germans.
so.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, you're right. You're right. Otherwise, it'd be weir bombing. But regardless, it's the point is the same. He's saying it's their fault, right? That
That's
they're
right.
getting bombed, right? It doesn't matter who's bombing them, really. Ultimately, it's because they were there, regardless. So. Yeah, it's a nice little moment. I love any time I get scenes between these two guys. It's just so great. Yeah, Winters and Nixon, they're both just well, one, they're just two phenomenal actors, and yeah, and I don't know. I just love those. I just love their
Yeah, for
relationship
sure. I
in
mean,
this whole
again,
story. It's
these
fantastic. Yeah.
guys become best friends for the rest of their lives. So,
Right. Yeah.
so it And then the shot changes, and it's now the morning, and we see that Bull finally decides he's going to leave the barn. I guess he knows that there's no one else around anymore, so it's he's able to get out there. And the shot, this goes back to what you were always talking about, how they give us different shots. And as he's walking out of the doors of the barn, so the camera moves to the floor, and it makes it seem as if we're seeing the perspective of the dead German, who's basically watching him, leave now, move along.
Yeah, it's an interesting shot. It's kind of this shaky handheld kind of what I guess it's a what kind of a drop down I can't remember what that's called. Is that a truck? I think you truck it down. Anyway, where it's not a tilt, it's just a drop. Yeah, I never really thought of it being maybe the kind of spirit of the German, but that would make sense to me. Yeah. It's from the same angle as we saw the girl from the girl's point of view, right? It's that same
It's
shot
essentially the same shot,
essentially
yeah. But it's even lower. But it's
same
lower.
shot as when yeah, even it drops even lower. But it's essentially that same angle as her watching him kill the German. And now we see that same shot and it goes even lower and we just get the foot in frame. And yeah, and then yeah, once again we kind of have this frame within a frame within a frame. So we have our frame that we're watching. We have the kind of mid frame of framing Bull, and then ultimately another frame as the door opens. Yeah, good stuff.
I like the way they did that. And then Bull leaves he leaves the barn, and he happens to find the body of Miller, James McAvoy. Now, what I didn't mention this the last week when we talked about when we saw Miller get killed, but in the book it says that he was killed when a hand grenade went off on his kidneys. But here they're giving us a headshot.
Oh, like one of
And
his
that's what I'm
grenades
not
went
sure
off?
about. That's the only line that says here. It just says Private James Miller, a 19-year-old replacement, was killed when a hand grenade went off on his kidneys. No, it, when a hand grenade went off.
Yeah, it could be anybody's.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I guess it's, as you said, visually, a headshot, a head wound makes makes it more interesting to look at.
Right. I mean, yeah, and I imagine if you take a grenade to the midsection, I mean, who knows? That might be, I mean, that might cut you right in half, and maybe you
Right.
just don't want to show
Exactly.
that,
And come on, you have to
So,
show McAvoy's face,
and it's
so it
just
makes sense.
it. Well, yeah, and it's well, and yeah, I mean, I think yeah, it's probably changed because we're going right back to the kid at the beginning of the episode, right? That's the whole, I mean, that's ultimately the whole point, right? Is yeah, here's this new guy, and once and they weren't wrong, to not be
Right.
friends
From
with him,
that
right?
perspective, yeah.
So, unfortunately, that ended up being true. And I think you get it in, I think you get it in Bull's face here. Like, I mean, I didn't even get a
That's
chance
right.
to get to know this guy. You know what I mean?
No, Russell Bull is in charge of training him. That's the thing.
Right,
Right.
right,
And then
right.
Bull
So,
reaches down and
anyway.
takes out his dog tags and takes off one of the two dog tags for him to keep to himself, and he like shakes his head a little bit, like saying, "What a shame," type of thing.
Yeah, he, yeah, I think that's why they do, yeah, it's a hedge, it's a headshot, for, the cause of his death is just to to link it, we as humans, we connect with
For
faces
sure.
more than
For sure.
anything else. And I think that's just visually, that's what we're doing. If and headshots tend to be pretty clean kills, whereas a guy blown up by a grenade, I think you'd I think just the abject gore factor of that would probably take away from identifying who this
Yeah, of
happened
course,
to. Do
of
you know what I
course.
mean? So I think that's probably the decision of why the death isn't
Yeah.
exactly as it
I
happened. So, which
Yeah, I'm
I'm
fine with
fine
it
with.
too.
I mean, I think that works in a story in a storytelling way, better probably, or ultimately. So I don't
And
have a problem
then
with it.
Bull hears some vehicle coming by and doesn't even try and hide. He just stands there and sees that it's an American Jeep, and the Jeep then passes one of the British tanks that was blown up last week, and it's really interesting. You see that it's still smoldering. There's still smoke coming out of the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean that thing just must have been, yeah, just burning all night. That's
That's right.
wild
And the
thinking.
gunner on the Jeep points his gun towards Bull, and Bull lifts up his hand, basically showing them that he's a friendly. And then at the same time, he takes the dog tag that he had taken from Miller and puts it in his breast pocket. And then the shot changes again, and we're back to these new recruits walking through the brush, trying to find Bull. And they hear something coming, and they Hubler motions to them, and they all take cover on the ground, get ready to shoot. And they see a Jeep show up, and what a surprise! It's the same Jeep that we just saw. And Hubler then puts up his hand to tell them that it's a friendly. And once again, the gunner on the Jeep is on the ball and points his gun at Hubler. That's
Pretty
right.
ready to go, which he should be. But yeah, that seeing that machine gun pointed, definitely, yeah. I was just like, oh man, that would just anytime that happened, that'd probably be a bit of an adrenaline dump, whether
Exactly.
you're good or not. How on the ball is this guy?
Exactly. And then,
So yeah, hopefully not too itchy
no,
with that
hopefully
trigger
not.
finger.
And then they happen to
Yeah.
notice that Bull's there, and they start running over towards him. Now, one thing I just want to say that the book, I mentioned earlier, I mentioned yesterday the four lines that they have about the Bull in the barn, and here they mention him again a few pages on the next page, on page 101, and it says the next morning Strayer moved his other two companies into Neunen. They found Sergeant Randleman holding the fort. That's all it says.
And I think when they were writing this, because they got all that documentary footage of actually talking to the guys, I'm sure that's where a lot of this supplemental stuff
Oh, I'm sure of
probably
it.
came
I'm
from,
sure of it.
and probably not just invented whole cloth, that's I do like that. It's not really mentioned, but these guys were successful in their ad hoc mission, to go get Bull. Even though it was just kind of by happenstance, they were successful. I'd like to point that out, so good on them.
It's true. And at this point, they walk over to where Bull is, very happy, obviously, that they've figured out where he is. And Hubler then turns to him and goes, "Where the f you been?" And Bull goes, "Glad to see you, boys." And then they give the great line to Cobb of saying, "Not as glad as us." He goes, "Bet you thought we'd given up on you there, boss." And then Bull turns to Cobb and goes, "Shut up, Cobb."
I know, like, Cobb can't fucking win. Anyway, it's great though. It makes me
Then Cobb
smile
turns around
again.
and goes,
So,
"Wyatt."
yeah. I just love that he just gets the piss taken
Yeah,
out of him every at every
completely.
turn. Which it deservedly
Yes,
so, I
in
think.
this case, there's no question
So,
about that.
yeah.
And then
He's got a very he's got a very Cobb's got a very punchable face, you know, as they would say,
And then the shot changes, and we're back at the base camp of Easy Company. And one of the guys says to Martin, he goes, "I think we should go back now." And then another guy goes, "Hey, Johnny, look." And they see that Bull is pulling up on the Jeep with the other guys all packed on the Jeep. I don't understand how they didn't fall off that. With so many people, the way that
Yeah,
they stack them up there.
it's wild how, I mean, it is a
Yes.
clown car
That's
of
it.
GIs. Like,
That's what it is.
and I love that Bull's got somehow he's gotten his hand on a cigar,
Well, of course. Come on.
and I and he's riding shotgun while everyone
Well, no,
else is
he is
pounding
the
his butt.
sergeant. So,
Just.
he's got rank on that.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, it makes sense, but I just, it's a great visual, so it's like, yeah, f you guys, go back, get in the back, like,
That's it. I got shotgun.
so,
And
yeah,
the
I imagine he
well,
probably
he was
didn't even
already
have
sitting
to
there.
call it, so, yeah, he was already sitting there, yeah, so,
And then as the Jeep stops and they
anyway.
all start piling out and Bull gets out, that's where this 5-minute segment ends. So is it...
Yeah, looking pretty
Yes.
smug, I might add,
That's true.
as he gets out.
That's true. So, anything else you want to add about
So
this particular 5-minute segment?
I think we did well
Okay,
on it.
I think so too. All right, so today's segment is a game called World War II Movie Trivia. So I will randomly give you trivia questions about World War II movies, and we'll see how your knowledge is of World War II.
Okay.
So let's spin the wheel and see what we get.
I did okay on
Yes, you did. Yes, you
yesterday,
did.
so.
All right, let's spin the wheel. Round and round and round and round the wheel goes.
Now is it now, Rob? Is it an actual
There
wheel,
is a
or are you
wheel. There
like
is a wheel
like
being
a
spun. It's fun, yeah.
okay. I wanted to know the nitty gritty, ins and
Of
outs.
course.
This, if you had some sort of
No, 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 no.
dice system, and then you're checking a list, kind of like
Nope,
D and
nope,
D
no, no.
style,
I
or
have a I found a website that has a what's it called? It's called wheelofnames.com. And you just you put in a list and it randomly spins a wheel. You get to watch the wheel, you get to hear the wheel, and it chooses something
fun.
randomly each time.
Great.
All right,
Love it.
so
Love
the first question of five is, who plays the two main characters in the 1970 movie Too Late the Hero?
Too Late
Too
to
Late the
Hero.
Hero.
Oh, Too Late the Hero. I have no idea because I've never heard that
Okay, so
movie's name.
it stars Michael Caine and Cliff Robertson.
Okay.
You also have Ian
Yeah,
Bannon in the movie.
Michael.
And Denholm
Yes.
Elliott's in it also.
Ooh, like it's some
Yeah, of
Denholm
course.
Elliott. Yeah.
Henry Fonda has a small part.
Gone too soon. Gone too soon. Yeah, gone too soon, that guy. The trick to doing a Michael Caine impression.
Just speak slowly.
So you just well, no, you just so you when you the you're in is you have to say, instead of Michael Caine, you say my cocaine.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so then if you go, so instead of just saying Michael Caine, you say my cocaine.
My cocaine. There you go. That's good.
Yeah, my cocaine, and you just do it in a British accent with a little bit of nasal, and you're pretty much
Excellent.
there.
That works. All right, let's spin the wheel for your next question. I liked it. I liked it. I didn't say anything else. Just wanna move along,
Yeah,
you know?
anyway. Who's seen the things that we've seen and done the things that we've done? Pretty bloody few, and that's a fact. I lost it there at the end. Oh, okay. Anyway. That was Man Who Would Be King. So.
Okay, what is the name of the 1955 movie about the story of Audie Murphy?
Audie Murphy. Why do I know that name? Story of
He
Audie
was the most
Murphy.
decorated soldier in all of U.S. history.
Okay. Well, that would be why I know that name. And what,
What's the
sorry, what
name of
was
the
the
movie?
question again? Oh, the name of the movie. And it's
55.
1950s,
55.
you said? 55. So that's fairly late. So it would have been made during the. Okay, so. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure I'm going to recognize the name when you tell me.
It's called To Hell and Back.
To Hell and Back. Cool. Who's starring
He
in
plays
that?
himself.
Oh, wow. Wow. Cool. Now
Yeah,
I'm going to have to check
very
that one
impressive,
out.
very impressive. And think about the fact he's playing it, 10 years after the war ended.
That's wild to think about.
Exactly.
What do you know what conference he was in? Like
He well he
what
was in I'm pretty sure
part?
he was in Europe.
Europe. Okay.
Yeah, I'm almost positive he was in Europe.
Cool.
Right, so let's spin the wheel for the next one.
Well, not doing so good so
You
far.
still get a chance, still get a chance.
Yeah.
Who directed the 1944 film Lifeboat?
Lifeboat, that would be Alfred
Very good. There you
Hitchcock.
go.
Yeah.
All right. You see? You
And he does do a, people don't think he does a
Yes, he does. He
cameo
does a
in that
before and
one, but
after
he
cameo.
does. Yeah, but he shows up in the
That's right.
newspaper, and there's like an ad for
No,
snacks or something, and that's where it
it's an
says
ad
it.
for a diet thing. That's why he has a before and after
Oh
commercial.
yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, kind of making
Yes.
fun of himself, being
Yes. But
rotund,
hey, he did
Yes.
it. So why not? It
Yeah,
worked. All right.
yeah.
Let's spin the wheel for your next question. So your fourth question, around and around and around the wheel goes.
I wouldn't have, it definitely is, but I wouldn't have thought it was Lifeboat, so. I wouldn't have, like, just in my head, I wouldn't have clocked Lifeboat as a World War II
But
picture.
you do know that it is, right?
Oh yeah, no, I do. I'm just saying in my kind of internal Rolodex, I just wouldn't have conflated those two
Okay.
things.
The 2001 movie Enemy at the Gates takes place during what battle?
That's the Battle of Stalingrad, I believe.
Yes, it is. Very good.
And that's Ed Harris and Jude Law.
And Joseph Fiennes. Yep.
And Joseph Fiennes, yep.
Yeah. All right. You see, so far you're right now you're at 50-50.
Okay.
You know. So should we do another question or just keep it
Yeah, I
at
mean, if you want to do a tiebreaker, see if I,
the
yeah, we, I'll, I'm game.
Well, no, we're supposed to do five, so that's.
Okay.
All right, let's spin the wheel and see what we get for this fifth question.
All right.
Okay, what is the name of the Clint Eastwood movie about Iwo Jima from the US perspective?
Okay, so there's letters to or from Iwo Jima. I can't remember which. That's the Japanese side. And then it's Flags of Our Fathers.
Yes, it is.
Okay,
Excellent. There
there
you
we
go.
go.
Nicely done.
Thank
See,
you.
there you go. You got the you have the winning percentage there.
Yes.
Nicely done. You see, you got two movies from the 50s and 70s, and then you started getting things that are a little more familiar.
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah, and it wasn't I did get one old one, so it wasn't just modern stuff,
No.
so
All right. So now let's play the daily game of Name That World War II Movie. So spin the wheel once again and see what movie you get this time.
there's
And it
just
could be one of the ones we just talked about.
right, and it's just there's so many movies, Rob, you just can't watch them all. It's so damn
You gotta find time to do so.
hard.
Okay, this is a movie that came out in 1952,
Okay.
and it's about a British diplomat that is selling secrets to the Germans while trying to romance a Polish countess.
Whoa. Okay. 1952. British diplomat selling secrets to who?
To the Germans.
To the Germans while romancing a Polish count. I got nothing on that one.
Okay, it's called Five Fingers.
Five Fingers. Who's starring who?
James Mason.
A James Mason. Okay.
And it
Yeah.
was written and directed by Joseph Mankiewicz.
Oh.
Joseph L. Mankiewicz.
Yeah, Mankiewicz. He's a good one.
No, that's a that, it's a very, very fun film where they're
Yeah.
trying to figure out, who's the one who's trying to give these secrets out?
Gotcha.
Who's selling the secrets?
And who's the director? Is it like a Michael Curtiz or?
No, I just said Joseph Mankiewicz.
Oh,
Joseph
Matt,
L. Mankiewicz.
he directed it. Okay. I thought
He
he was
directed and wrote it.
and wrote it.
He did both.
Okay, gotcha. He did double duty. Cool.
That's right. All right, excellent. So would you like to once again tell people where they can find Tyson Ferris?
Yeah, you can check if you like the sound of my voice and want to hear me talk about Jaws 1 minute at a time. You can find Real Jaws Minute just about anywhere you can find a podcast, and it's a good time. And you can also find me on other minute by minutes. I've been guests on quite a few, so including Rob's Great Escape. So.
Yes. All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie on Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movieonminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieonminute@movierob.net. So Tyson, you want to do one more of these tomorrow, which I'll give you a little bit of a discount. You don't have to do all 5 minutes.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, and speaking of James Mason, if any of you out there haven't seen Bill Hader's impression of James Mason trying to order a dozen donuts with an expired coupon, please go Google that and have fun laughing because it is fantastic. So.
Sounds good. All right. Excellent.
All
So
right.
until tomorrow, Curry.
Hooray.